Amen. I appreciate that prayer. And please continue to pray. That song we sang right before we started, Prayer for Faith, that last verse, it said, "Give me this faith, dear Lord, I pray, while on the battle line, that I may never from thee stray, nor let my zeal decline." Never let my zeal decline. What I feel for Him, what I want to do in His service, the acting that I do on His service, never let it decline. It says on the battle line, because we are in a battle each and every day. No, we don't war against the flesh. There are some that wear the uniform in this nation that go out and fight. But the ones that we deal with, the ones that everyone deals with, is the evils of this world. It's a battle. So we need to be praying for that faith to help, even lay hold, to be strong, as Brother Jamie has prayed this morning. We need to be strong and never let our zeal decline. This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Haggai, the prophet Haggai. And we're just going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways." Consider your ways. In this time, and time of Israel, this is when after the children of Israel have left Babylon to go back home. You know, after the 70 years of captivity, they were drawn away and taken to a foreign land and had to be there for 70 years. But the Lord blessed them at a certain time to come back home. And they were blessed on their journey. They were blessed with funds. They were blessed with travel, everything they needed to go back. And I'm not exactly sure what time, how long it had been that they had been back. But it's been anywhere from like 16 to 20 years almost that they've been back home. 16 to 20 years they've been back home. And apparently the house of the Lord lay waste. It had not been built yet. It had not been rebuilt. It had not been set up. Haggai says, "Is it time for ye, for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses?" They weren't living in tents. They weren't living in pots. They were living in their sealed houses. Their houses have been complete. But the house of the Lord lay waste. So the Lord is telling through Haggai, consider your ways. Consider your ways. This can also apply to our life. Is our life in shambles while we think we're living in our sealed houses? How is our spiritual life? Is our spiritual life in waste? And our natural life dwelling in sealed houses? We need to consider our ways. Continue reading, verse 6. "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye are not filled." "Ye eat, but ye are not have enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into bag with holes." Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now that just sounds like it doesn't make much sense. I eat, but I'm not. I don't have enough. I drink, but I'm not filled. You know, I'm clothed, but I'm not warm. And I earn wages, and I put it in a bag with holes. Excuse me. Why would you do that? Why would you earn money and put it in a bag that's got holes in it that's going to come out? Consider your ways. It doesn't make sense to do that. If we want to earn wages, we want to put it in something that's going to hold it, something that's secure. And how is our spiritual life this morning? We need to ask that question each and every time we open this book and read His Word or listen to the sound of the gospel. Any time that we entreat His Word, we need to know, where am I? Paul would say in the Corinthians letter, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. We need to do that on every day. That's not just, you have like a doctor checkup like once a year or something like that, a welfare checkup, just see how you're doing. No, this is an everyday thing. How am I doing? Where am I at? Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. If we go to Revelation chapter 2, this is where we have the church of Ephesus that the Lord is addressing them. It says, unto the angel, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now, if anybody knows your works, it's the Lord. Now, I can say I've done a lot of things, and I could deceive people, but that don't only go so far. The Lord knows. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. These are some good things. The Lord is commending them on a good job. They're doing good. They're doing good works. But verse 4 said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou have left thy first love. Left thy first love. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So the Lord is telling, is commending this church on doing such good works, but He says, I have somewhat against thee. And that should be, one of those, hey, listen, the Lord has a problem here with you. I have somewhat against thee, that I have left thy first love. Sounds like what Haggai was saying. Consider your ways. How are you doing? How's our life? How is our spiritual life going? Are we doing the first works? Have we left our first love? Those children of Israel, when they came back, they're probably doing some good things, helping one another out, just doing what they can do. And they built houses. And I know they had to farm, and they had to, bring in, they had to labor. And they were probably laboring together and helping one another out. That was good works. But the house of the Lord lay waste. Left their first love. What is our first and foremost love? God, our Lord, the one who sent His only begotten Son into this world to die upon a cross and pay the sin debt for me. That is who I need to have. That's the first love. Doing His work. Not doing my work, but doing His work. Because in doing His work, if we put a priority on doing His work first, it helps when we're doing ours. Isn't that a promise that he told us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. The Lord knows we need things. He understands we have jobs, we have responsibilities, we have families we have to tend to. But if we put a priority on putting him first, consider our ways and follow after him and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. So like Haggai said, consider your ways. The Lord was telling the church of Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee. There's something wrong and it needs to be taken care of. Because didn't he say, or else I'll come quickly. It needs to be dealt with soon. So if we ever find ourselves in that place where we need to, have I left my first love? Have I left off doing the first works? Am I not doing the way I should? That's the time we need to start considering our ways. Stop and think. Examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. But the Lord did say, remember therefore whence thou art fallen and repent. He didn't say it's too late. Good luck. Adios, anything. No, he said there's something that you can do. Repent and do the first works. So there's something that we can do. Even if we get into that situation. Aren't you thankful that the God is not going to just write us off completely? That's one of the things we need to listen. We need to think and stop and think. If I feel that I'm no longer near the Lord, who moved? It wasn't God. It was me. I'm at fault. I'm the one who moved. I'm the one who left off the work. I'm the one who left my first love. In Revelation chapter 3, the next chapter over, in verse 14, we read, and the Lord is speaking, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, I know thy works. Again, it's a different church, but the Lord is saying, I know thy works. Again, he knows. We can try to, you know, clean our act up in front of different people. That we can try to do, you know, deceive others. But we can't deceive God. God's not mocked. He knows. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's just like grabbing your coffee cup and taking a sip. Ooh, it's lukewarm. Ooh, you just want to get rid of it. It's bad. Lukewarm. In Amos chapter 6, verse 1, the first part of that verse is, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. Like we started off, never let my zeal decline. If we are at ease in Zion, we're lukewarm, comfortable, we're just lazy, not doing anything, not working, not trying to do anything, at ease in Zion. You know, I think it was few weeks back or whatever, we had Elder Buddy Abernathy, and he touched on these things, and I was just so, I think the Lord just blessed him immensely with this, but I appreciated so much the analogy that he had about the glass of water. A glass of ice water, if you set it down here, eventually it starts to have condensation on the outside. It's changing the environment. It's having an effect on the environment. And a pot of boiling water has steam billowing out from it. It has an effect on the environment around it. But a glass of water that's lukewarm, room temperature, it has completely gone to its environment, whatever's around it. The environment that we live in is this world. We don't need to be lukewarm. The Lord says here He'd rather us be cold or hot. We need to do something. Be in service to Him. Do the first works. Never letting our zeal decline. Not being at ease in Zion. Now, there is a difference between being at ease in Zion and resting in the finished work of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I can rest in that. That's where I find my peace. I can rest in the finished work of Christ, but never let my zeal decline for Him and be at ease at Zion. That's why I appreciated so much the song service we had. It sounded like there was some oomph being put into it. And that's how we need to be doing our praising to the Lord. He is worthy of it, is He not? That's how we need to do each and every time we come. We need to be singing praises to Him because He deserves every bit of it. And I can't praise Him enough. And I love what I've heard, you know, a while back about eternity. And I don't know if exactly who first quoted it or whatever, but anyway, the sentiment is the same. Eternity is just long enough to praise God enough. It'll take eternity to praise Him enough for what He's done for us. For everything that He's done for us and everything that He continues to do for us. Even in my disobedience, He's still loving. He's still caring. Doesn't the rain fall on the just and the unjust? Now, I know sometimes when rain, you can see it where it's like raining on half the field and the other half is just dry. I know that happens. But the rain does move around. It rains on the just and the unjust. We receive the same amount of sunshine. We receive the same oxygen. Everything that the Lord's blessings, the food that He provides, everything that He has blessed us with, and especially the beauty of this world. You know, we're told not to love the world, but all the flowers that are in full bloom and everything that the Lord has made is beautiful. And all those, everything that the Lord has made, even the stars in the heaven, they're declaring His glory. Why? Because they're doing exactly what He told them to do, what He created them to do. What of His creation does not proclaim His glory 24/7? Me. Us. His people. That's our failing. Now, I know we have to sleep, but brethren, every time we wake up, any time that we're awake, we need to be having that song in our heart and that thankful attitude. Thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings. And never letting the zeal decline, being excited about it. When you hear the Scriptures being read, do you get excited? Or are we at ease at Zion? You know, I'm just as guilty as anybody. Don't feel like I'm picking on any one person. If anything, I need to be preaching to me. I so often find myself at ease in Zion. I need to stir it up within me. Read the Scriptures. Get more excited about it. Never thinking that, you know, it's like, well, I know some of these Scriptures. And I'm just not feeling it today. I don't mean to be funny, but how if the Lord said, well, you know what, I just don't feel it like it today. I was going to bless you with something, but I just don't feel like it today. Aren't we thankful that He never wavers? Aren't we thankful that He is so faithful to us? He is the Good Shepherd, is He not? He is so good to us. And I have given Him so many reasons not to be good to me. But He still is good, still is that good shepherd, still having His love and His blessings showered upon us. The psalmist will say, He daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. And even if He were to stop all the blessings, even if He were just to cut it completely off, He's done enough for us that we still need to praise Him for all eternity. Still. But aren't we thankful that I'm not God? Aren't we thankful we're not God? Aren't we thankful He is the God? And He's faithful and blesses us even when we don't deserve it. Now, on the flip side, if we were to be fired up in Zion and wanting to have our zeal fired up and wanting to go into battle each and every day, listening to his scriptures and His words and living our life according to thus saith the Lord, how much more would we receive? How much more would we receive? Our life may be harder because this world doesn't care anything about His word. This world is not a friend to God. And if we're trying to live our life according to thus saith the Lord, more than likely, we're going to get some opposition. That's why it's called pressing into the kingdom. There's some opposition that we have to face. It's a battle, is it not? Each and every day. But the Lord is faithful to bless us to what we need. And just as the children of Israel, when they were about to go into battle, the Lord told them, I am with you. He's the same God today. He hasn't changed. Aren't we thankful that He doesn't change? Our mind is fickle. People in general are fickle. Aren't we thankful that He doesn't change? Still the same God. So, kind of got off a little bit, but back onto the scriptures where we said, well, woe to them that are ease at Zion, at Laodicea. He says, because thou art not cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of thy mouth. Brethren, we don't need to be like this. We don't need to let our zeal decline. We need to get fired up about it. We need to start doing what we can in His service. Like I said earlier, when we read the scriptures, do we get excited about it? When we hear good preaching that the Lord is blessing, do we get excited about it? You know, it's easy to get excited about watching a football game or watching a good movie or something like that, especially when somebody's, your favorite team's playing your rival or whatever, and they fumble the ball and they recover it. Oh man, you can get jumping up excited about this. But then somebody's proclaiming the gospel truth, Jesus Christ. And there's crickets. What has happened? What's going on? Are we at ease at Zion? I know I am too often at a time. I find myself at ease at Zion. I need to be like Haggai, I was saying, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Where do I spend my time? Where is my effort? Where is all my money going? Where is everything of my every waking moment? Where is it focused at? You know, when the Lord told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God, He did not say seek ye only. It just says seek ye first. Him first. In all things He shall have the preeminence. Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That would just solve a lot of problems in our life. Now, I'm not saying that your life's going to be a bed of roses for the rest of your life. Just read about what the apostles had to face in their lifetime. The New Testament church in Jerusalem, what they had to face. Persecution all the time. Like Brother Jamie prayed this morning, if we need that, if that's what we need, then let's get ready. Let's get ready for it. Because it's coming. Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. I read that verse so often and I think, what am I doing wrong? I haven't suffered any persecution. Am I not living right? I need to consider my ways. So, in the considering our ways, First thing we need to do is question, where am I? Where am I? You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned against God and ate and took upon that fruit, and he heard the Lord coming, and he hid himself, and the Lord called out to him, Adam, where art thou? I think I made a mention of it last week, but when God asks a question, he doesn't need information. It's not because he doesn't know. The Lord asking a question is for us to think. And he asked Adam, where art thou? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Where am I? In Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 105, psalmist writes, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Have you ever used a lamp? You know, if you ever had to use a kerosene lamp or just any kind of flashlight that's like a lamp, you know, it doesn't shine out thousands of yards down the road. It lights up where you're at. It shows you where your feet are. It shows you where you're at. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. So where am I? We need to ask that question. Where am I? Consider my ways. Where am I? It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So first question is, where am I? Second question is, where do I go? Where am I and where do I go? Well, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet to show me where I am, and it's a light unto my path. So his word shows us where we are. It can convict us. We can read in his word and we can be pricked to the heart and we can see that our errors of our ways. And then we continue reading and see where we need to go. A light unto my path. In Psalm 119, same Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, I hope nobody's offended by that, by the simple. But compared to God, I am as simple as they come. Simple-minded. Compared to the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the one who knows all, sees all, declares the end from the beginning. I am a simple creature. But he says, the entrance of thy word, it has to get in there. We have to read it. You know, I've used the analogy about, you know, if you have a headache and everything, you got that headache medicine in the medicine closet or whatever. What good is it doing to you in there? You have to get it out and take it, or you'll receive no benefit from it. Same with God's word. We need to read it. We need to take it in. We need to feast upon his word every day. So the entrance of thy word giveth light. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But to be able to get that light, it needs to get in me. I need to take in his word. So again, consider our ways. Are we reading his word enough? No, we're not. I don't know how you spend your day, but I can already tell you, no, we're not reading enough. There's always room for improvement. Because honestly, even if we had the Word of God plastered in front of our face 24/7 and we just read it all the time, we couldn't get enough. We just can't get enough. So we need to read more. So his word shows us where we are, because it can. We can be reading His Word, and it can convict us and show us our errors, where we're doing wrong, and then continue reading and getting more of the instruction and looking at where He wants us to go so we can live our life according to thus saith the Lord. But we need to get it in. So let us consider our ways. Where am I and where do I go? Read His Word. Feast on His Word. That's our daily bread. As the Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. He understands we need food. He's the one that made us after all. He knows we need food. But our daily bread is His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is our daily bread. That's what we need. So in considering our ways, if we find ourselves at ease at Zion, brothers and sisters, we need to read this word. Let it stir us up and get fired up God again and again. We need to get that way. We need to light a fire under it, if you will. Yeah, if you light a fire on somebody, they'll get to moving, won't they? I mean, that's the whole thing about being cold or hot. If you're cold, what do? You want to do something to make yourself warm again. You're going to find some way to warm up. Either going to be doing some exercises or get a blanket or start a fire. And if you're hot, if you're burning up, you're going to do something about it. You're going to try to cool off a little bit. So I'm getting some movement, getting some action. So oftentimes we joke around about it, but I don't think the Lord is laughing about it. But we consider like the primitive Baptist. We're the frozen chosen. We're at ease in Zion. We need to be excited about His Word again. We need to have that zeal fired up because the battle is raging. And it's raging every day. We need to be prepared. The Lord has blessed us with armor to wear. We go back and read over in Ephesians about the armor of God. And He's blessed us with that armor. But notice, all that armor is just to protect the front. Why not the back? Because, brethren, if we're taking the time reading His Word and putting our armor on and facing the battle, the Lord has our back. We don't have to worry about that. That's why there is no armor on the back, because we're not supposed to retreat. We're supposed to move forward. Let our zeal not decline. Move forward. Keep pressing forward. So, brothers and sisters, let us consider our ways. So we consider our ways and where am I and where, which way do I go? So we need to be reading His Word. Turn to His Word and turn to His understanding. Lean not on my own understanding. Because remember, I'm the simple. I need His Word to give me light. So, turning to His Word in 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So His Word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So if we consider our ways and find out I'm not doing exactly what I need to be doing, how do I do better? Turn to His Word. God's Word is a thorough furnisher because it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's His Word. Oh yes, a man may have penned it, but it's by the inspired will of God. It's His words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We want our lives to be profitable. I want my life to be profitable. Not so much, I want to get rich or anything, but I want it to be profitable. I have two children. I want their lives to be full and rich of God. Why? Because He's the one who can bless us with all that we need. Those that are rich in God are rich indeed, are they not? So we want our lives to be profitable. We want to be good examples. We want to leave something behind. We want to lead a good life. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Do we like being corrected? It's not my favorite thing. But even though if it's correction out of love, it's for my own good. And that's what His Word can do. Consider your ways. Read the Word. If we're convicted by His Word, then good. Because it'll show us what we need to do better. Show us where we need to stop doing and where we need to improve. His Word is a thorough furnisher and instruction in righteousness. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I have nothing to boast. But His righteousness, that is what we've been clothed with. That is what the Lord looks upon. He sees the blood of Christ. That's how we're righteous. That's the only way. As we sang that song, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's where it's at. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we know this. Thankfully, we know this. And if we don't, we need to be instructed about it. And the best instructions we can get is again in His Word. It's all here. It says in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's a thorough furnisher for us. It's what we need. So, in considering our ways, reading His Word, His Word gives us light, gives us understanding, and is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So, this word is very important. And again, we need to get fired up again about it. Be more excited about it. One of the things I love so much is when somebody comes to the church that has never grown up under these truths, have never really heard much gospel teachings about the truth, and you can just see the excitement on their eyes, and they just lit up, and they're excited, and they're just fired up about it, and they want to hear more, and they want to hear more. What's wrong with us, the ones who have listened to it our entire life? Have we gotten used to it? Have we become at ease in Zion? It's time to light that fire. It's time to stoke it up, if you will. And the closer we move to God, the hotter and hotter it'll be. Just like that ember, that ember that's glowing red hot down at the bottom of that fire. If you move it away from it, it starts getting cold and it starts getting black. But that same ember, you push it closer to the fire and it'll start glowing red hot again. We need to move closer to Him. We need to get fired up about it again. We need to wake up. Stop being so at ease in Zion. So consider our ways. Let's go back in Haggai. Back in Haggai, verse 6. Again, in verse 6, it says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but ye are none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Again, we said, I want our lives to be profitable. And the only way to be profitable is by doing the will of God. Now, doing His will, is that going to guarantee you a mansion and the nicest, fanciest car, gold watch, all the money you can think of? No. No, I'm here to tell you, that's not a get-rich-quick scheme. Except for getting rich in His love. Getting rich in His service. Storing up treasures in heaven. That's where we can draw from. That's a savings account that will never be diminished, right? Unless we diminish it. The more we put up, the more we're going to get out. Don't let our zeal decline. Don't be at ease in Zion. Move forward. We want our lives to be successful. In Matthew chapter 6, I know I've already said, I've already quoted about the seek ye first, but Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That's how so many people try to live their lives. You know, they want to come to church, and you know, and it's very possible to come to church, sing every single song, listen to every single word the preacher preaches, listen to every single word that was prayed, and still fail to worship. It can happen. We can get to the point where we're so at ease in Zion that we're just going through the motions. If we're at ease in Zion, that means the entire world environment has just come over and we're just like them, serving the world, not serving God. The Lord says you cannot serve two masters. So we cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall I put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." Again, we said he knows that we need these things. He knows. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He takes care of his own. You know, the birds, they don't have fields that they have to plow, but he provides food for them. The flowers and everything that it blooms, he takes care of them. They're so beautiful, and they do them. He's going to take care of us. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." That is a promise that he has given us. But brothers and sisters, if we are at ease at Zion, if we're lukewarm, we're not receiving the blessings that we could. Our lives would be so much better if we were to live our life according to thus saith the Lord. Light that fire up about it. Get excited about his word again. Read it with excitement, with gladness, with thanksgiving. Because all that he has done for us, all that he is continuing to do for us, brother, I tell you today, that is something to get excited about. So I hope and pray that if we are considering our ways and we find ourselves at ease in Zion, brother and sister, that our zeal will just grow and grow. And like that song, that our zeal not decline, because the battle's coming. So brothers and sisters, let's consider our ways. Paul would say, examine yourselves. So examine yourselves, consider your ways, and if you find that you're at ease in Zion, brothers and sisters, let's do something to fire it up. Let's do something to get more excited about His Word. Now, I don't expect you to be sitting in your seats, jumping up and down, screaming, hooping and hollering, so excited about it, but we can show a little excitement about His life. Everything that He's doing for us, everything that He continues to do, His Word that He's given us. You know, so oftentimes I hear some people say, I wish there was a manual for life. You know, they give you an owner's manual for your car, and they give you an owner's manual for other things, but they say, I wish there was an owner's manual for life. It's right here. It's right here. All in here. Again, it's a thorough furnisher. But again, just like anything, if we don't take it in, if we're not availing ourselves to it, it's not going to be any good for us. The only good we're going to receive out of it is what we get out, you know, what we take in. We need to. So let our zeal be fired up. Let's be excited about His Word again. Let's want to be with God's people. Let us want to sing His praises. See, real quick, Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it's a short psalm. I know it's time about gone. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His holy name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Brothers and sisters, that's something to be excited about. God doesn't change. He's not going anywhere. And if we're fearful of how the next generation is going to be happening, if we're fearful about our children, what they're having to face, this government or whatever man can throw at it, the same God that had delivered me thus far, that delivered the children of Israel, He's the same God. The same God. So let us get excited about it again. Let's wake up and want to praise His name. Want to be in His house. Want to be with His people. So let us not be like the children of Israel that came back and let the house of the Lord lay waste. Brothers and sisters, let's build. Let's get busy. Let's get active. Let's put some action behind our words. If we say we love the Lord, let's show it. And never let our zeal decline. So, brothers and sisters, let us consider our ways. May the Lord be with you and bless you. Thank you.